This is the Poetry Magazine podcast. I'm Dawn Scherer, editor of Poetry Magazine.
I'm Christina Pugh, consulting editor.
And I'm Lindsay Garbutt, associate editor. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we discuss a poem or two in the current issue.
Mai Dervang is the author of Afterland, published by Grey Wolf Press in 2017. The book recounts the long exodus from Laos and the fate of thousands of refugees seeking asylum.
The poem Look to the New Moon, featured in Poetry, is part of a collection Vang is currently putting together.
This is a bit of a divergence for me. And, you know, in my first collection of poems, I had written about the war that my parents experienced as a result of the Vietnam War and the state of becoming refugees. And then also that first book was really an examination of the spiritual plane. And with these poems, it is kind of a retelling of that foundation of spirituality, but I want to offer to my reader something more, something that isn't just a reminder, but that is a call to wake up and own your existence and to recognize the fragility of our time.
In the new collection, Vang explores Cold War-era chemical and biological warfare, specifically allegations of their use against refugee populations following the Vietnam War.
Looking back at those allegations, looking back at that history of potential erasure, this one, I think, is a poem that stands out as a moment of reflection and hope.
Here's Mai Dervang reading Look to the New Moon.
If you must hear the story of my turbulent gaze after waking, the march of my hours to hermit into a higher body, it is that whatever you put into the universe eventually returns. In our oneness of gift, we are eyes together, nerves together, affected together. If I've never told you how madly we share in the stars, how it was all founded for you, then let the longing for Arcturus be the gilding of our sleep. I know when your time was in its making, I was left to sing alone, unfed to trample through 100 layers of night without a heart to hold my guard. If I had known all those days to listen deep into myself so that you would begin to hear me, I'd sooner soak the decibels of your cells into the exhale of my embrace. A scorning within is within coming back to scorn. A rose quartz promise lifted into the world is the world coming back to surrender its love. Even after I took my health into a vineyard of hawks, I could not break myself from caring, but only to seek you, find you. Whisper into your palm, you are not lost, you won't be lost.
I love how the title of this poem is sort of manifest throughout, the idea of looking at a new moon being a sort of absence in the sky that you know is there, but you can't see it. And so within this poem, there are lots of gaps within the lines, sort of suggesting an absence there, and there's this sort of repetition of returning or cycles that the moon goes through. And then we end with the repetition of you are not lost, you won't be lost. So even though the moon disappears, we know it's coming back. And so it's really beautiful how that title functions in this poem, and also how it sort of speaks to the mystery of the you in this poem. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out or thinking about who the you might be, and although it may not really matter exactly who it is, I think its changeability is sort of manifest in the idea of the moon, the fact that the speaker seems to be talking to maybe a child, maybe a higher power, maybe a ghost. I don't know if maybe I'm the only one who felt like it was unclear, but I appreciated that sort of changeable address that was happening throughout the poem.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was one thing that really caught my eye and my attention in this poem, too. This sort of porous quality of the pronouns, as you were just saying, Lindsay, the you and the way that it really oscillates and changes like the moon, the you become the we, the I. There's kind of really interesting permutations. And that wonderful line, how madly we share, in the stars seems to encapsulate something about a real energetic sharing, an incredibly volatile and energized sharing that's going on with the pronouns and their changeable nature. I love what you were saying about how that really connects to the moon.
And there's a kind of poetry that isn't sort of based in a linear prose-like narrative. You know, there's poems that are written in the language of the most internal and internalized kinds of thinking and realizing and understanding of things. It's kind of a solitary, even idiosyncratic language. And the thing is that once a poet expresses things in that language, people need to read them and absorb them in turn. And I like that in the center of the poem, it says, I know when your time was in its making, I was left to sing alone. That kind of singing alone, but knowing that the reverberations are going to be picked up by somebody somewhere is very interesting to me, even at the beginning of the poem where it says, if you must hear, sort of, you know, that's very conditional. And yet, if you must hear, that's very intriguing, you know, like when language and images are set out into the world, what's going to happen to them? What has to happen to them? It's sort of a fragile undertaking. But what's even more interesting is if you must hear the story of my turbulent gaze after waking. Usually you think of a gaze as a kind of a stare, like unblinking. Mm. But that first two lines really slowed me down nicely because I had to think about that. It's really true. Like our gaze is turbulent. In other words, there's movement in it. Our eyes move without our even wanting them to, you know, the zigzag of the eye. It's almost like when you think you have a gaze, which is a kind of a poetical stance, you know, that the actual fact is that it isn't steady, that there's turbulence and that, you know, all kinds of things enter the field of vision. And then that gets put into the universe, all of the stuff that can be seen and articulated. And then it eventually returns. In our oneness of gift, we are eyes together, nerves together, affected together. And that's a lovely way to sort of excavate something that's just internal or internalized and acknowledge that ultimately all this goes back out into the universe where we all are and everything is, and it gets kind of, it becomes part of that universe.
This idea of we are eyes together, nerves together, affected together, sort of makes the experience of the universe that you were talking about really bodily in some interesting ways. So another part of the poem that stood out to me, if I had known all those days,
to listen deep into myself so that you would begin to hear me. I'd sooner soak the decibels of your cells into the exhale of my embrace.
There's sort of a strange mystical quality to that, but it's also very scientific in a strange way. The decibels of our cells, the idea that our cells have sound, but that it may not be something that we think of typically, and so that it might be something we feel more than hear or sense more than know for sure. The idea that the you and the me are so intimately intertwined even in the acts of listening and hearing. It's just really beautifully articulated in almost a sort of metaphysical way.
And there's that great internal rhyme of decibels, cells, that sonorously gives us that as well. The bell is hidden or manifest in the word decibel. It seems to me that what follows that, a scorning within is within coming back to scorn. There's that kind of reversibility of phrase, of sound, of, you know, the inner and the outer that we've been talking about, the self, the you, the we, the universe, always doing those very intricate reversals.
You can read Look to the New Moon by Mai Dervang in the July and August 2019 double issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org. If you're not yet a subscriber to the magazine, and you really should be one, for a limited time, we're offering podcast listeners a special rate of $20. That's $20 for a full year of the freshest voices in contemporary poetry featured in 11 book-length issues, as well as free digital access on our mobile app. Visit poetrymagazine.org/podcast offer to subscribe. That's poetrymagazine.org/podcast offer.
We'll have another episode for you next week, where you can hear all four featured poets in the full-length podcast on SoundCloud.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org, and please link to the podcast on social media.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Rachel James.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbett.
I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.